Welcome to episode 409. Are you struggling with weight loss having tried all of the hacks and all of the tips and all of the diets, and despite doing most things right, your body just isn't changing? Your snack cravings are all over the place and your sugar binges are out of control and your energy is going down the drain multiple times per day due to your blood sugar crashing. Maybe you're even pre-diabetic or actually diabetic. If you're thinking, oh, that's actually kind of me, then you might like to know that if nothing else is working, you might be missing a piece of the puzzle. Something that's free, just outside, and has the ability to totally rewire your hormones, your metabolism, and your results with weight loss. That puzzle piece is light. Sunlight. On this episode, we speak with a metabolism and circadian biology expert about the relationship between light, UV rays, metabolism and blood sugar, weight loss, screens, and we bust some myths about autoimmune disease, cancer, and skin color. Ooh, controversial topics. Anyway. This is a great episode if you want some deep healing to happen in your body and to stop being challenged by sugar cravings, blood sugar crashes, and start maintaining the healthy body and healthy diet that you always wished you could. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. You've tuned in because you want to start taking your health seriously so you don't, well, get sick and die. Here we talk all things health, nutrition, and human optimization. Let's jump into it with your host and resident scientist, Maddie Lansdowne.
What's up, my healthy friends? Happy to have your eyes and ears here with us today. This year, it's my mission to coach 500 people to get control of their sugar cravings and sugar binges so they can stop yo-yo dieting, stop obsessing about food, and finally create a body that they feel confident being in. And a large percentage of the men and women that I work with that have those challenges also have some degree of insulin resistance and other blood sugar issues. So I'd like to introduce you to someone that you may already know, Danielle Hamilton. She's a blood sugar, circadian biology, and metabolism expert who recently rebranded her enormously successful podcast to Light Up Your Metabolism. And for those regulars who think Danny sounds familiar, she was formerly on episodes 175, 233, and 235. And she's back here to open up your minds as to how nature and the sun can heal your digestive, metabolic, and blood sugar issues. Danny, welcome back.
Hi, I can't believe I've been on so many episodes of your podcast. I feel so excited about that.
Yeah, you're a VIP at this point.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me back. Brand new stuff to talk about today. Brand new stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, you and I were in this cool little mastermind crew a few years ago, and we used to see each other on a weekly basis, sort of. Yes. Hustling together, and I definitely miss seeing you that often.
I do.
But since we were in that chapter, you've undergone a massive change with the way that you work. And so I want to know, why did you change your focus to circadian biology, light, and nature being the most important tool for blood sugar and metabolic health instead of necessarily focusing mainly on the path of telling people how to optimize their carbs, fats, and proteins and whatever's on their plate?
Yeah. So I still do think that food is important, but I started learning some information from some people who I followed. I saw their transformation and I had slowly started incorporating some of these strategies myself. I've had some blue blocking glasses and I knew that morning sunlight was important, but I didn't think it was that important. I'm like, surely food is the most important. And so I just started learning more and more about these topics. And as I'm learning all these things, I'm also seeing at the same time in my practice that there's so many clients who I was working with who were doing, quote, everything right, and were still coming up with a lot of issues. Like, for example, high morning fasting blood sugar, this dawn phenomenon, can't get their blood sugar down in the morning. It's like we've reversed their insulin resistance. They have regular cycles again and their postprandial blood sugar looks amazing, yet they're still having this issue. And so I felt as a practitioner, I was lacking tools in my toolbox. And as I started to learn more about light, I felt like I saw the light. And I just realized that so much of our modern environment is signaling our body to do things that we don't want it to do and that we're unaware of. So I just felt like we've become so out of sync with nature and her cycles, and that our modern lifestyles, there have been some changes in these over the past couple of years that could also point to the fact that I feel like we're getting, like we're way sicker, like we're way worse than we were even when I started this, you know, a couple of years ago. And I know that, you know, there's a lot more toxins and the food, you know, the soils are more depleted. There's all sorts of things that maybe we can point to, but there's a lot that's also changed in our light environment. And I started to learn things about light. Like, for example, when light penetrates the ocean, if you take like a rainbow and you flip it upside down, the light that penetrates deepest into the ocean is a color of blue. And life started in our oceans. And that color blue is the same wavelength that actually we've developed receptors for in our eyes, in our skin, in our mitochondria. And it's that color blue that actually will tell the body what time it is, which is a crazy, crazy thing. So all of a sudden, I'm learning that our body is receiving so many messages from the outside. It's not just what we're putting in our body, but it's also the environment in which we are in that is causing a lot of these problems. So and then I started incorporating these strategies with my clients and I got just the best results, like the most amazing things. So, you know, after a couple of weeks, I had a client whose fasting blood sugar was pretty high in the pre-diabetic range. And within 2 weeks of doing some of these strategies I'll tell you about, her blood sugar was in a perfect optimal level. It's just the healing got so expedited because I just feel like it was a missing piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. I mean, Thomas Edison and his crew and everybody before him, they've got a lot to answer for with introducing light to us outside of the normal hours of sunlight, right? It's caused so much. I mean, social progress, industrial progress, you know, we've been able to stay up later, study, work, produce results, but metabolically and physically, we're at a stage where we're really paying the price. But I find, I don't know if you find this, but when we talk about light, I don't know if it's because it's sort of considered a fringe biohacking topic at the moment and it just hasn't quite penetrated into mainstream. Mm-hmm. But you start talking about light to people and they're like, this woo-woo hippie idiot that's telling me that the lights now are causing problems. They're like, okay, buddy. Do you have that experience?
I think that it's harder to get the buy-in from people. People have kind of come around to understanding, yeah, of course, food impacts us. But one of the things that we don't realize is that light is the primary time giver to our body. It is the primary thing that tells our body what time it is. And learning about this concept of how important it is for our body to know what time it is, this is something that really just blew my mind and made a lot of things really make sense for me. So one of the most stressful things our body can experience is not knowing what time it is. So have you ever taken a really long nap and you wake up and you're kind of disoriented after you wake up and you're like, whoa, where am I? What time is it? Like, what's going on? Who am I? Having that little like memento moment. I don't know if you remember that movie from the early 2000s, but it's really stressful. It's like a little panic, like, oh my God, what time is it? That, why is it so panicky? Why is it so anxiety provoking? Because if you didn't know where you were, if you didn't know who you were, you would be very confused because you wouldn't know what to do. You certainly wouldn't be on this podcast right now. You wouldn't, would you? It was like, okay, should I be washing my face and brushing my teeth and going to bed? Or should I be decorating for Christmas? Or should I be going to that doctor's appointment? You don't know what to do if you don't know what time it is. And the same thing with our body. How does it know to release that hormone, to turn on that gene? It knows because it's getting the go-ahead from light. Just like, you know, flowers open up in the when the sun is there and they close when it's not. Like, we respond to light. And so these different wavelengths, they have such profound effects on our health. And there's vast amount of research showing this. So if you don't believe this blonde girl who, you know, from the US, like, like believe, there's tons and tons and tons of really solid research about this. So going back to the body needs to know what time it is. Think about if an airport didn't have an air traffic controller, right? It would be anarchy. So we have to organize things somehow. We have to keep time. And so the body does this by receiving light signals. That's the primary time giver. And meal timing is actually the secondary time giver. And it's important to keep in mind that the body is better at doing certain things at certain times of the day versus at night. So we're better at things like digesting, metabolizing food, solving problems during the daytime. And we're way better at doing things like sleeping, detoxing, repairing in the evening. And so this is our circadian rhythm, but it's not only like a body clock thing. People are like, oh, it's this body clock. It's that every single cell in our body has a little clock, and maintaining these rhythms so that genes turn on and off at the right time, so that hormones are released in the right amount at the right time. This is essential to every single aspect of our health. So I like to use another analogy when it comes to circadian rhythm, that think about our body like a restaurant. And this is, let's say, a brunch restaurant. So every day the workers come in and they have their tasks to do. They, you know, turn on the open sign and they get ready for customers, and they come in, they feed the customers. And then as the day goes on, they start cleaning up for the night. They start cleaning the tables and ordering food, you know, orders for the next day and taking out the trash and all those things. And they close up, and then only to they rest, and then they repeat. And the next day they come in on time and do the same thing. But let's say a huge group of people shows up right as the restaurant is about to close, let's say at like 6 p.m. All of a sudden, we're on a skeleton crew. Half the people have gone home. Half the people have been working all day. Orders are coming out wrong. We don't have a chance to clean the tables. We didn't put in the orders for the next day. Stuff is getting missed. Things are getting overlooked. Things are getting delayed, and they're not being done at the right time. And then the workers, they've been working all day. They're going to come in late the next day because they were up way too late working. So this is going to shift everything, and it's going to cause this ripple effect of basically chaos. And if we think about our bodies, it's the same thing. So if we're about to go to bed, and then our body's like, oh, okay, the lights are going down, cortisol is coming down, melatonin, it's your turn, let's go, we're going to start rising. It's like, oh no, she's going out to dinner. And it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, turn the cortisol on, get the insulin pumps ready. Like, we're not prepared to do that. So what takes a back seat then? Repair, detoxification, all of those processes get delayed or they get missed. I guess we won't have autophagy tonight or mitophagy, sorry. So then we get this buildup of all this stuff like reactive oxygen species and lack of getting, taking the garbage out, right? So that is a just simple, silly type of overview of how important it is for humans to sync with the cycles of nature, not the cycles of humanness, modern society. That makes sense?
It makes so much sense. And I think, you know, a lot of people, I guess, in the modern world that are probably listening to this podcast, living in, you know, extremely busy lives where they feel like we've got to keep up with everything and everyone. And my kid has to, you know, do every extracurricular activity that's possible. And so, you know, the rebuttal that a lot of people have to this is, okay, Danny, okay, Maddie, it makes sense. But when am I going to get this under wraps? Like, my life is so busy, you know, I have to keep up with the kids. I've got to do all of this stuff. And so you get that response from people that they're hesitant, or I guess two things. One, they're hesitant to adopt the beliefs because they're like, I can't actually respond to them. Or two, it's just another thing on their health and wellness list that they can't achieve, is getting to bed at the right time or eating at the right time, or, you know, or some people, I mean, a lot of the studies done on poor sleep are often done on nurses because they do night shift so much, right? And you're under those fluorescent white lights all night, being completely dysregulated in every possible way. And I say all of that to sort of lead up to the conversation around, it makes sense, but how do we navigate this modern world where light is everywhere on our phones from the second we wake up too early? We go to sleep with Netflix on in our bedrooms, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Great point, because I'm going to share a lot of things today and a lot of tips. And the last thing I want is for someone to get so overwhelmed that they don't do any of it. And so I want you to keep in mind that there's a lot of little things we can do to mitigate some of the harmful effects of modern living and modern technology. So I have a ton of information and a ton of tips to share so that we don't have to go live in a tent in the woods. So that is not my intention. I know we don't have time for that. So we're going to be able to make little shifts, and we don't have to be perfect in order to get a lot of return on investment for a lot of these things. And a lot of times we're burning the candle at both ends and we're pouring from an empty cup. And then we have to make time for sickness because we didn't make time for wellness, right? And so I encourage people to listen with the intention of, I do not have to do all of these things by tomorrow. I don't have to do all of these things perfectly in order to get benefits from these things, right? So the first thing I would say is that you mentioned a lot of stuff about technology and screens and lights. And I think let's start there because I think this is a really good place to start because I'm going to talk about how important it is to wake up and see the sunrise. But a lot of people are like, Danny, are you kidding me? Like I can't fall asleep at night, or I'm up too late and I'm on my phone and I feel like I feel victimless. I mean, like a victim to my phone, that I feel like I can't get a hold on it and I can't stop myself. So let's talk about things that we can do as soon as the sun starts going down. This is where, as you mentioned before, our early ancestors would not have had access to any more daylight. So there would be no more actually blue light in our environment. And that blue light is, it's a really important thing. We hear it spoken about in a negative way, but it's actually really essential, right? It tells our body what time it is. And it also creates, it drives the body to create cortisol, as well as raise insulin and blood sugar. And this is fine during the day. We get this gentle rise of cortisol as the sun comes up, and then the sun starts going down and the cortisol comes down. The sun goes away, and that allows for melatonin to start rising. Melatonin, we know, helps with sleep, but it's also involved in nearly every single repair process in our bodies. So you want to have a leaky gut, we want to repair it, we need melatonin for that. So that is how it should work with our circadian hormones. And so as the sun goes down, there's no more blue light in our environment. Our ancestors would have had access to fire. So there are certain colors of light that don't impact our melatonin. So those being like orange and red tones. So I like to mimic kind of what our ancestors did and start with, we want to think about blocking out blue light at night, which is coming from our devices. They're very high in blue light, even though we don't really see it. We see it as white light. But now even light bulbs have changed. So these LED lights that we now have, they are very high in blue light, whereas the light bulb of Edison actually was very low in blue light. It kind of, the spectrum mimicked sun, like sunset. So it was high even in infrared light, which we'll get into. But nowadays we have this, we have the TV, we have our computer, we have our laptops, we have light bulbs, we have the neighbor's lights coming in our windows, we have headlights, which are now these LEDs, they're blinding. Yeah, we have the street lights,
they're so
which
harsh.
A lot of them are being changed to LEDs. They're super harsh. So all of these lights are now filling blue into our environment, telling our body it's daytime, time to produce cortisol, blood sugar, insulin. So as you can see, it's really disrupting our metabolic health and it's preventing release of melatonin. So it's telling us to do daytime stuff. So we have a hard time falling asleep. So the first thing I like to have people do is start to do things to mitigate some of this blue light. So the first thing we can do is, instead of as the sun sets, flip on all the lights, we can start with just don't turn on overhead lights, because all these receptors in our eyes are actually made for overhead light because that's where the sun is. So turn off the overhead lights and start out with just like maybe the stove light or like a lamp, a tableside lamp or something like that, some night lights. Keep it dim. You can use things like a Himalayan salt lamp, which has like a reddish, orangish glow. You can use candles, but please, beeswax, unscented candles. Don't now start burning tons of candles and introducing all these endocrine disruptors into your environment. And then my personal favorite is orange lens blue blocking glasses. So a lot of people are like, do blue blocking glasses even work? Is that just a hoax? Well, a lot of the blue blocking glasses they use, amazing, are clear. And the clear ones do not work. Well, they work, but they're not effective because they only work to block out a certain color, which is actually more of a blue violet color, which is not the blue in question. It's not the blue that's causing problems. So the clear ones, even if you got these in like your prescription lenses, they don't work. So don't waste your money on the clear ones. But the orange ones, they seriously block out all of the blue and some of the green. And that's really helpful because you can still see a lot of color. I watch TV with them. I look at my laptop with them and I can see what's going on. It's helpful when the sun starts going down. Like here in the US, it's fall and we're getting shorter days. So soon in certain places, the sun is going to be setting at like 4:30. You don't want to come home and have it so dark that you fall asleep by 5:30, right? Unless you want to. But we want to kind of extend that amount of time. So the orange lens glasses are so great to put on anytime the sun is down. This also goes for before the sun rises. We don't want to artificially start our circadian rhythm by, you know, the fridge light or turning on a light bulb or looking at our phone. So those orange glasses go on anytime the sun is down. Then that kind of mimics that firelight, right? So we had this sort of bright orange glow. And then as the fire burned down, we got these glowing red dim embers. And that's where the red lights come in. So you can have the red glasses on. And at that time, you can do some red lights. I forgot to mention that after you kind of, once you kind of get your footing in all this world and okay, I've turned off the overhead lights and you want to take it a step further to really support this melatonin production, I would say I recommend getting some orange light bulbs, even incandescent bulbs if you can find them. They're mostly banned. Like here in the US, they're pretty much banned unless they're in like a decorative sort of sense. But so they're very hard to find. I found some on Amazon. Half of them are broken. It's pretty tricky, but using like an orange.
Why banned?
They're because of energy efficiency.
Oh, right.
Because it doesn't have the infrared. So these lights have infrared, which make heat. So they're not energy efficient. LED lights don't make heat. So they're more, quote, energy efficient. And so that's why these lights are banned. I could think of a lot worse things that we're doing than having a light bulb on, but that's just me.
Absolutely.
So we want to think about, again, with our light environment, mimicking what firelight would give us, right? So that orange. Mm-hmm. And then in the evening, when it gets closer to bed, like an hour before bed, you can switch to all those red. If you want red glasses, I still keep my orange ones on. And then like a red light bulb in the bedroom. Your neighbors might question what you're doing, but that's okay. At least you'll be able to fall asleep. So just a couple of client stories from this. I had a client actually yesterday, who joined my program. She told me that she's struggled with insomnia since 2013 and she just could not sleep. And she saw my posts and she got some orange blue blockers. And within about 3 days, she was sleeping through the night. And I mean, it's unbelievable. And she said that in 2013, she always thought it was her hormones changed, but she realized that was the year that she switched all her lights to LEDs in her house. Mm. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's wild. And then there's also studies on this where people wore orange lens blue blockers for 2 to 3 hours before bed for 1 month. And they showed statistically significant improvements in their scores of fasting blood sugar and HOMA-IR, which is a measure of insulin resistance. So in addition to improving sleep, I also see my clients have way better metabolic health and blood sugar and insulin numbers by just wearing these glasses at night. So there are studies backing this up. I have countless client testimonials of this. And so if you're wanting to start anywhere, just a pair of orange blue blockers. And I personally wear mine out. You don't have to do that. But if you get friends who are in this world like you, like our mutual friend, Molly Eastman, when the two of us go out, we have our orange blue blockers on together and no one said anything. Everyone thinks it's a fashion statement. And so I'm like, yeah, I don't care. And it's, for me, it's helpful to drive home to not get those intense lights in my eyes, but on roads I'm familiar with. So be careful out there. So yeah.
Because you're listening here, I can safely assume you're an absolute legend. And so if you want to keep this party going, I'd love to invite you over to follow me on Instagram or YouTube, both under the same name of The Real Weight Loss Coach. Over there, you'll find different content in both places. It's different. So heaps of bite-sized pieces of information. So if you want to learn lots of things really fast with a bit of a scroll, or simply you just prefer some visuals, then scroll over to The Real Weight Loss Coach on Instagram and YouTube. So see you there. Thank you. And let's get back into the episode. I've got a cool story to share as well. So I had a client, sort of this sort of blue blocking glasses has been a part of my sort of, I guess, program for 4 or 5 years now. And a little bit of that, you know, regulating as we get to sleep at night and stuff like that. But she came into my program and she had two autistic children and she did the whole red globe change of an evening at home. And within a couple of days, she came onto a coaching call and said, my two kids have never been so calm in her entire experience of them with autism. And I'll never forget that because she was like, I can't believe it was the light.
It is the light. And it's also the EMFs, which is their frequencies. So this is the whole—
Yeah, that too, right?
Yeah, this is the whole electromagnetic frequency. The frequencies that we're using are unnatural to a human being, and unnatural could be at the wrong time or could be at a frequency that's just unnatural all the time. And so these frequencies are impacting us so much. And like Maddie, I believe you probably know this and many of your listeners probably know too, but everything is frequency. Mm-hmm. Everything is vibrating. So everything is frequency, sound, light, like, but even us, we are frequency. And so when we are inside in an indoor modern environment with, you know, electricity in the walls, maybe dirty electricity and all these EMFs and unnatural light sources, artificial light, we are bombarding ourselves in so many ways with so many unnatural frequencies. And it's really, and our kids with kiddos on the spectrum are just the most sensitive. And so they can manifest this stuff, or they can feel this. And, you know, I have a friend with a daughter on the spectrum, and she said that the walls were screaming. And so it's like they can, some of them can perceive and hear these types of things. Wow. And, you know, an average neurotypical person may not be able to. So yeah, it's pretty wild. So, but again, we're not living in tents, so we can't fear everything. But when it comes to Wi-Fi, you know, I'm not an expert on non-native EMFs, which are these non-native electromagnetic frequencies. But a couple of tips that I do know is that distance is your friend. So please don't charge your phone right next to your bed, right, you know, beside your head. I recommend charging it in another room or as far away as you can put it, because as it's charging, it actually emits more radiation. The other thing is, if you can turn it off, old school alarm clock, that would be recommended. Don't have things plugged in by the head of your bed. And then I personally turn off the Wi-Fi at night, because this is when we want to be restoring our body. And so this frequency, it can penetrate walls and all sorts of stuff. You're getting cell phone signal, you're getting, you know, exposed to it. And I can't make my neighbors turn theirs off, and there's a house right there. So I'm getting their radiate, but we want to minimize and mitigate the best we can without freaking out about it, because we are just going to be exposed. And that's the long and short of it. We live in a modern world. We cannot eliminate all of it, but this is where it's like, let me control what I can. So turning off the Wi-Fi at night is what I do. I have my lights on like a clicker, and then I charge my phone in another room. Another cool thing about the phone is that you can set it up to go 1, 2, 3. You click the side button 3 times and it turns it red. It turns the screen red. There's all sorts of red filters for a computer screen. So we can take some of our devices even and make them a little bit more circadian and blood sugar friendly, and also way less addictive when it's red like that. That blue is what's stimulating all that dopamine, and it makes it really addictive. So it's like, oh, the phone's not as fun and you can't really see as much on it. So it's like, oh yeah, I shouldn't be on this right now anyway. So those are some tips to support our nighttime routine, which will help make it easier to get to sleep earlier, to naturally fall asleep easier, to stay asleep longer. I see people having more deep sleep. Oh, that's another one, a big one with the glasses. People are like, oh my gosh, my deep sleep went up so much on my Aura Ring or on my 8 Sleep. Our mutual friend, Karen Martell, she swears by these glasses because they're really helping her deep sleep. So we get people having more restorative sleep. That's going to help their metabolic health and also help them get up earlier to then do my next, but most important thing that we could do in our day, which is see the sunrise with naked eyes. And sunrise is just so powerful. And I don't think I'm really going to sell it, but I hope I do. But it's just, besides it being this beautiful moment where we can just feel so much gratitude and appreciation for a new day and this beautiful earth that we're on and this life, because so many of my clients start to go on like a deeper sort of spiritual or even religious journey. They feel more connected to their God, source, the universe, whatever it is, that it's a beautiful time to just sit and be, but it does such amazing things for our body, because as soon as the sun comes over the horizon, that's the first time we get blue in the environment. And that blue is going to start that circadian clock in a nice, gentle way where it's gently going to make our cortisol rise. And the sun at that time is loaded with infrared light. So if you're watching this on a video, you can see I have an infrared and red light therapy panel behind me. I usually have a tiny one on me when I'm inside doing a podcast like this. But infrared light, and the reason why we're extracting this light and putting it in a panel, is because there are so many benefits to both red and infrared light. Infrared light in general makes up about 49% of the sun's rays. So the sun, which gives life to almost all things on Earth, is about half infrared. So it's probably pretty important, right? So this light is actually present in sunlight all times of day, all year round. It's very anti-inflammatory. It supports things like pain relief, improves circulation, wound healing, detoxification, stress reduction, immune system support. It also supports the mitochondria by making them more efficient at burning glucose. And that means they lower our glucose levels. So getting outside in the morning to see sunrise, if you're a person who deals with that high morning fasting blood sugar, what you're doing by being outside is that you're not getting a giant burst of cortisol and blood sugar, which is going to send your blood sugar super high, like if we were just to turn on an overhead light. You're getting a gradual increase of the blue with lots and lots of red and infrared, which is making the body, the mitochondria, use up that glucose so you don't get the dawn phenomenon. It's absolutely unbelievable. I have my clients walk outside with their continuous glucose monitor and they just watch their blood sugar go down into the healthy range. And it's really cool to see. And so, yeah, this light has so many benefits. It also builds this thing called exclusion zone water in our mitochondria, which is like our body's battery. It actually excludes toxins and heavy metals from our cell. It's how we have cellular hydration. It also builds subcellular melatonin. So, quiz, Maddie, let's see if you know this. I didn't know this, so don't feel bad if you don't know. How much of our melatonin do we make during the day versus at night? Do you have any idea?
I'm going to guess percentage-wise, let's say 50% during the day.
Yeah. Okay, so that is incorrect. We make 95% during the day and 5% at night. And you can look, it's wild. I looked up, I heard that statistic. I'm like, no way, I'm looking that up. And it is verified. So we make melatonin, that really important antioxidant that is helping us sleep and repair every ounce of our body, we make that 95% of it is made from infrared light, which is present in all sunlight, all times of year, all day long. So we are so infrared light deficient as a society. It's like if we think about these wavelengths of light as nutrients, it makes sense. So thinking about all the things that it does, infrared light is also extremely healing for, well, red light as well is really healing for more surface tissues like the skin. So it's helpful for anti-aging, building collagen, reversing sun damage. And so this infrared light also like hair growth, nerve pain, thyroid health. So lots and lots of benefits. So you can get all of those just by going outside at sunrise. And that is going to, again, tell your body to turn on this whole cascade of hormones to help start to stimulate your appetite and get you ready to take on the day. It's going to produce the blue light is going to tell the body to produce pregnenolone, which is a precursor to cortisol and also our sex hormones. So a lot of women have high cortisol and low sex hormones. You know, we need to get outside so we can make more of that. And then the onset of blue light, as I mentioned, is going to set that circadian clock so it knows this is what time it is, so I know what to do the rest of the day. So tips would be get sunrise as the first light in your eyes, and it should be through naked eyes, so no glasses, contacts, or windows or glass in the way. If it's cloudy, rainy, foggy, snowy, the light still comes through. And if you can't get outside, just open a window and you want to sky gaze east. You can look through a screen. People ask that to me, so it might be obvious to some people, but some people ask, it's okay if the light comes through a screen because it can bend. But our windows are actually, we were talking about energy efficiency earlier, our windows actually unfortunately block out a huge percentage of infrared light because they are trying to be energy efficient because this infrared is heat. So the windows block out a lot of infrared light. They also block out a lot of UV light, and they make our indoor environments highly skewed high in blue light. So a lot of people are like, oh, I have so much natural light in my house. There's no such thing as natural light if it's going through anything like glass. So unfortunately, it's not natural light. It's better than not having it. But even just cracking a window, like right now, right there, I have my window cracked so I can get all the wavelengths of light coming in. And that is enough to tell my body what time it is. So that's a really important piece as well. So we feel good about sunrise. And are you bought in?
One thing I wanted to highlight was that most people hear sunlight and they just think the only sort of utility that being in sunlight has is vitamin D.
You're so right.
And this whole time, you haven't even mentioned vitamin D.
That's because we're not up to it yet.
Which is not a criticism, yeah. But it's just me saying that my point is that it's got so many more functions than just producing vitamin D, right?
That's a beautiful insight. And I see that as well. And it's like, we're not even at vitamin D yet. And I've been talking for a long time about light. So there are a lot of people who think that, and they may be wondering like, well, why didn't she say vitamin D? Don't you get vitamin D from the sun? Well, you can't get it from red and infrared light. You can only get it from a specific wavelength of light, which we're not up to yet. So hold on and we'll get to it. So do you feel ready to keep going? We have a couple more lights to go.
Yeah.
Is that cool? All right. So one thing I did want to mention is that there are a couple of apps that I do recommend downloading so you can know when all these time periods are in your day. When is the sun rising? When is the sun setting? When is UVA rise, which we're going to talk about next? So there are certain apps. There's one by my friend Sarah Kleiner called My Circadian App. There's a Circadian Life app. And these apps will tell you, you put in your location, and then you don't have to be like Googling. They notify you when these different times are. So I'm happy to share those links with you, Maddie.
Yeah, it sounds good.
In case people want to download them. And so the next period of time, this is going to be a little bit later in the morning than sunrise. There is a new light that comes into our environment called UVA, ultraviolet A. And this light has so many awesome benefits. I geek out on UVA. So UVA is when the sun is about 10 to 30 degrees off the horizon. UVA light is present in all sunlight all over the globe all year, but in this window, it does some magical things. So the first thing it does is that it stimulates a peptide called POMC, which is a precursor protein for several neuropeptides. So it just, it's this molecule that breaks into a bunch of stuff. Okay, that's, I'm not a scientist. So it produces the peptide beta endorphin, which gives us a runner's high. So it makes us feel good, lowers pain. So who doesn't want a boost of endorphins, right? It produces ACTH, which helps to regulate stress and inflammation. It regulates cortisol and androgen production. It produces alpha, beta, and gamma MSH, which stimulates melanin. And it does so many other things, but we won't go into that now. Melanin, you might know as pigment. Maddie doesn't have a lot of melanin as a redhead. It acts as a natural sunscreen, which naturally controls your appetite. It has neuroprotective properties. It's capable, this is all melanin. This is when we make a tan. It's capable of binding with heavy metals and certain chemicals supporting detoxification. Melanin, they make batteries out of melanin, so it helps us with energy. Melanin can split the water molecule. It has antioxidant properties. It can neutralize harmful free radicals because it makes molecular hydrogen, which is a really our most powerful antioxidant because it's the tiniest, because it's the smallest particle, well, atom in the universe. And it also produces lipotropins, which helps improve fat burning. And I'm not done yet. There's still more benefits. So when UVA strikes your eyes and your skin, it converts different amino acids into these things. We get serotonin, so we feel happy. We get dopamine, so we have motivation. We get norepinephrine, which helps us with better focus and also fat burning. And it supports the creation of thyroid hormones, T4 and T3. Isn't that crazy, all that stuff that it does?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's so impressive. And I think as well, something that we didn't touch on before in the sort of sleep conversation and at nighttime is that, you know, when we are in a sleep environment that allows light in, we can keep some of these daytime processes on, right? And yes. So in order to get that recovery and the healing and all of the benefits that happen at nighttime that we get triggered during the day from being exposed to the right light, we actually have to make sure the room's really dark. And I think that's important because we need that back and forth, that oscillation between lots of light and no light.
Brightness, bright days, dark nights. Yes, beautifully said and a great point. So we really want to have this. That's why we go with like the orange and the red lights at night. And then when we're sleeping, no light at all. Like you shouldn't be able to see your hand in front of your face. I'm a huge fan of this company called You Blockout. That is actually an Australian company. And I met the founder here in Austin and they do 100% blackout shades. Oh my gosh, what an upgrade. Not sponsored, you know, huge fan of their stuff because it's really like blacking out everything. So that's really important. But also this concept of we want dark nights and very bright days. The brightness is also really important and also really supportive for sleep. So when we're getting outside, one of the things that people do oftentimes is like we're in these dark, dimly lit homes that are not nearly as bright as outside, even with natural light. We're inside all day and then we go outside. And what is the first thing we do, Maddie? We put on our sunglasses. And so then we're shading our eyes. So we're not getting that brightness in our eyes. And so I'm not saying every person, like no one should ever wear sunglasses ever again for any reason. That is not what I'm saying. So let's talk about the nuance. If you can, avoid wearing sunglasses as often as possible, as whatever feels comfortable to you, starting with morning and evening light and seeing if you could work towards brighter times of the day, maybe not wearing sunglasses. However, if you are at a mismatch with your latitude, so meaning your ancestors or from, let's say, a very northern or very southern region of the globe, very far away from the equator, and you have very light skin and light eyes, and you're now living closer to the equator than your ancestors lived, there's a mismatch there. And so you, Maddie, I'm picturing you on an Australian beach, which is, you know, do you know where your ancestors are from? Are they all just from?
Yeah, I was going to say this conversation point is exactly me. Because I'm, yeah, in Australia, which is hot, mm-hmm. and natural mm-hmm. Australians are obviously dark-skinned, but mm-hmm. I'm definitely from a combination of Ireland and England, where it's miserable weather and overcast all the time.
Exactly. So you are at a latitudinal mismatch for your what's called your Fitzpatrick scale. And this is actually a beautiful segue into our next light. Finally, we're getting to UVB light. And UVB light is the light that does make vitamin D. So when we're talking about UVB light, this is a very nuanced conversation that we need to have about it. And the first thing you want to do is figure out what is your Fitzpatrick score or scale or number. Mm-hmm. And so it goes from 1 to 6. You're probably a 1, like an Irish, lighter skin, reddish toned hair, freckles, pretty much doesn't tan at all. I would say maybe you're like a 1.5 because I feel like you probably tan a little bit.
Well, this is the thing.
Or only after a burn or something like
this
that.
This is the thing. I've got a child on the way and I'm hoping that it does uh-huh. not get my tanning abilities and that it gets all of Yali's, because Yali obviously has, you know, dark yep. brown skin. And so I'm very hopeful mm-hmm. that even if it's a bit whiter, that this baby can tan like...
Because being out in the sun and especially for the latitude that you're at, we would... Ideally, your baby would have a better match for the latitude that you're at, which would make it have an easier life. So when it comes to the Fitzpatrick scale, a 1 is going to be someone Irish, light eyes, pretty much never tans, only burns kind of a deal. Whereas someone who's a Fitzpatrick 6 is someone with very dark black skin, never ever burns, can be out in the sun for hours and hours, no burns. That, and then everyone is sort of fill in somewhere in that scale. It's important to know this mm-hmm. about yourself. So then you're aware of how long you should be in the sun getting exposed to this UVB. But I don't talk about UVB first because we really want to prep our skin before we get that intenser light. We want to prep our skin in the morning light with all that infrared, really soothing, prepping the skin. Then that UVA light builds melanin. So it builds a natural sunscreen to protect the skin. And a lot of times I have so many clients who said, Danny, I have a tan and I've never had a tan in my entire life. Like they can't believe it. They just thought I don't tan and they're doing it. And which is really great because it's really powerful stuff to build what's called a solar callus. So UVB light is not available in all locations all year round. That's kind of that like tropical summer type light that helps us make vitamin D. That is the only light that makes the vitamin D, which is an essential hormone like vitamin for optimal blood glucose regulation, insulin sensitivity, immune function, and so many more things. But the sun doesn't only make that 25-OHD that we're testing for on a lab test. It makes dozens of metabolites and other things that are not found in the supplement. So one of them is called lumisterol, and this works with the liver to help produce bile acids that has a profound impact on our metabolism, obesity, thyroid function. There's another one that's called tachysterol, and that prevents vitamin D toxicity from excessive UVB exposure. And that is something that vitamin D supplements don't have. When UVB light hits the skin, it increases gut microbial diversity and it increases the gut microbes that break down simple sugars, which means that when there's high UVB in your environment, you're better able to metabolize these and break down simple sugars. And that's convenient because that's a time of year where you would eat more fruits and where the fruits would be growing in your environment, right? And so there's even more benefits of UVB. So of course it gives us vitamin D, which is very cancer protective, but they show that the more UVB we get, the more we are protected from cancer. There's an inverse relationship with the amount of sunlight someone gets and their risk of melanoma. So the less sunlight you get, the higher your risk of melanoma. There are certain cancers that I'm not an expert on this, but I'm going to tell you the couple of things that I know. Every single study looking at UVB light and skin cancer has been done with what's called narrow band UVB light. So basically they shone a light that was only UVB and said, this causes cancer. That is not what the sun is. So you cannot extrapolate the sun causes skin cancer because it has UVB. It also has 49% infrared. It has UVA, which is building our melanin, which is protecting us from that. And so I'm not saying that inappropriate and, you know, flagrant sun exposure cannot cause damage. I'm not saying that. We have to be smart about it, but I'm saying that we have been severely misled. And so the idea that so many people are going outside and the first thing they do is put on sunglasses and slap on sunscreen, that's going to prevent all vitamin D conversion. So, and then they tell you on everything, they're like, and make sure you stay away from the sun during the peak hours of the day. Well, how are you going to get vitamin D if you do that? You have to think about, we have to all start to get comfortable with the idea of safe and appropriate and responsible sun exposure. And that starts with the early morning, the UVA, building a solar callus, avoiding burns, getting in shade when you need to. In the shade, you still get infrared, which is great. It bounces off leaves. And then use things to cover up. Use, if you want to protect your face from the sun, you don't have to get your face in the sun. You can wear a hat. You can, again, we want to try to stay away from sunglasses. And, you know, if you need to, if you're on a boat ride in the middle of, you know, the ocean in Australia, Maddie, you probably would do best with some sunscreen after you, you know, expose yourself a little bit. And maybe you're a person who can only go in the sun at the very beginning of that UVB range for like 20 minutes. So like at, let's say, 11 o'clock in the morning in the summer, you get 20 minutes and that's the only time you get. And then you do the rest of the, you know, the sun, but you can get way darker than you think. But I do want to mention for any of our listeners, any of your listeners, excuse me, with darker skin and more of a Fitzpatrick 4, 5, and 6, if your ancestors were probably from a more equatorial region, and therefore they received a ton of UVB exposure and they had the natural melanin in their skin to protect them. So now we've moved all over the globe. And so if there is someone whose ancestry is from Africa and they're now living in Canada, that's a huge mismatch and they're not getting enough UV light. And then on top of it, there's propaganda for them to start wearing sunscreen. And it's very, it hurts my soul that we're not being, and especially darker skinned communities are not being given this information. It's actually easier for you, Maddie, to be like hyper exposed because you can cover up, but you can't make sun when there's no sun, right? So someone with really dark skin who's living closer to the poles needs to be really mindful. I'm like, take tropical vacations, you know, do what you can. Maybe that would be a case for like a vitamin D lamp to supplement some of that and, you know, in a smart, controlled way. So yeah, that's UVB is amazing. It also reduces your appetite and increases your fat burning like crazy.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought all of that up because especially being in Australia, we have the propaganda in regards to avoiding the sun is enormous. Like every kid in Australia grows up with the slip, slop, slap, which is the advertising campaign about putting, you know, sunscreen on at schools, wearing your hat. And like you said, it's important to distinguish between overexposure and appropriate exposure. But appropriate exposure is not no exposure. And there are many studies that show that you need UV light to avoid and reduce your risk of cancer. And people listening to this will be shocked to hear that, especially Australians and especially anybody, like you said, that is white, that has moved to a country where there's lots of sun, right? And the other thing is, on the other end of the spectrum, which you also touched on, and I can also speak to in the sense that in my own relationship, you know, Yali is brown skin, right? And so Melbourne in Australia, where I am in this conversation, we have one of the highest rates of autoimmune disease in the world. And it's because Australia is such a great place to migrate to. But when you're as low as Melbourne on the globe, we have a very large number of Africans. We have a very large number of people from Europe after World War II. we have a very large number of people from different parts of the world where they have dark skin. And now they're in Melbourne where we can't make vitamin D for, you know, 6 to 9 months of the year because we're so low. And this is the same for the southern island of New Zealand. And we've got so many people with dark skin in this environment. So even if we were outside all day, every day, that cohort of people are not going to be able to get enough UV exposure and vitamin D from the sun. And so all of that contributes to Melbourne being one of the highest autoimmune diseased cities in the world because we have so many dark-skinned people so low in the southern hemisphere.
Wow. Yes. And that happens a lot in Canada. And if you look at like a map of where people have MS, it is directly it corresponds to how much UVB light that they have. So yeah, I hear you. And it's definitely challenging. So I guess we do want your baby to have a little bit of lighter skin if possible, maybe a nice mix of both of you, which would be a happy medium because you don't get UVB all year round. So yeah, so that was a ton of information, but I did want to add just one more important thing about meal timing that I haven't added yet. And that is one of the things, a trend that you and I have probably seen for the last couple years that I feel like people are so diligent with, but it's really not serving them anymore, is the idea of skipping breakfast. And I know this may feel like it's coming out of left field, but remember, meal timing is that secondary time giver to our body. Food contains light information. And so when people are, especially women, and especially when it's been, you know, a year or 2 years of skipping breakfast, we're asking the body to run on cortisol all morning. And that is going to cause our blood sugar to rise. It causes people to not be able to lose body fat. And then they're shifting their eating window to later in the day when we are not as good at metabolizing our meals. So that is the circadian rhythm nature of our metabolism, that we have way better blood sugar responses to meals earlier in the day, and they tend to get worse as the day goes on. And when the sun goes down, I always say insulin clocks out, because it's like, you know, I could eat a meal at breakfast with 30 grams of carbs in it, have no spike whatsoever, and then eat that same exact meal after dark, and my blood sugar is high and it's elevated for a really long time. And that, again, is like my insulin was clocking out, you know, it was like, oh, shift's over. So thinking about what, if you are a person who wants to intermittent fast, I encourage you to skip dinner instead of skipping breakfast. Oftentimes we see huge improvements with sleep and HRV and recovery because we're not digesting. We're actually able to repair and restore. So I did want to pull that in and then also talk about one more thing, and please don't shoot the messenger on this one, but I encourage everyone to have coffee after breakfast. You can still have your dang coffee. I love coffee too, but I encourage you to have it after breakfast. And the reason is because coffee is an appetite suppressant. We want to eat upon rising, and also coffee will raise cortisol and epinephrine, and the epinephrine piece drives insulin resistance. So if we eat before or even with the coffee, there are studies that show that it lowers the epinephrine response and the cortisol response to that coffee. So we don't get as much of a hit on our stress hormones. So that's something important. And then, like I said, the coffee is an appetite suppressant, so we're not going to want to eat when we have it. So for me, in order to switch and have breakfast first, I had to go outside, look at the sky, and it took probably about 3 weeks for me to actually feel hungry in the morning. So I would force myself at first to maybe just have a protein shake or like one egg, because that's all I could get, and then have my coffee. And after a couple of weeks, all of a sudden, I started to be able to get hungry in the morning. And then it was like, wake up, sunrise, breakfast outside if you can, because you get all that infrared light. It's amazing on your blood sugar. And then have the coffee afterwards and just watch your stress levels change, your cortisol levels, your blood sugar levels. I mean, all of those things are just, they're such powerful tools for healing. So I hope that I didn't overwhelm y'all too much, but I want to give lots of good, helpful information for people, because every single strategy I mentioned today was free. Every single one.
Absolutely.
Except for, no, that's a lie. Blue blocking glasses are not free. I'm so sorry. They're not, but worth the investment.
I definitely want to get you back to talk about the food stuff because I want to have a bit of a tennis match with some ideas on that. Yeah. So I've got some questions, some challenges, some things to debate. So let's do that in the future. But where can everybody find you online?
I hang out a lot on Instagram. My account is Danielle Hamilton Health. My podcast is now called Light Up Your Metabolism. And I do have a course coming out soon called It Starts With Light. So if you want all this, more information, but easy takeaways and easy to apply and to be able to ask all the questions. And I live here. And what about this? What about if it's snowing? How do I get grounded then? And all that stuff. I want to throw that in as well. So
awesome. I'll put all of those links down in the caption and the show note below. And to wrap up, it might be obvious at this point, but what is one piece of health information you wish more people knew about?
Get in the sun. Get outside, get your feet on the earth, get your booty outside off the couch. It will that's one of the things that I love about some of these recommendations, because I struggled with a difficult mental health summer, went through a divorce and some things. And, you know, I really felt what it was like to really experience depression and, you know, grief and whatever combination it was. And sometimes it felt like it's like, you can't do anything. You know, I know you've been in a place like that too. And sometimes it's like, you just can't do anything, don't want to do anything. But if you're laying there, to get off the couch and just go lay outside instead or sit outside is a really low barrier to entry. So it's not like I'm asking you to get a gym membership and hire a trainer and go to the gym or go to the grocery store and plan a meal and cook this good meal. It's like, just open the door and go outside and sit down. So I think that, you know, for people who are in a dark space, it's also, I love to be able to bring this to people or people who don't have the means to spend a lot of money on their health. These are some free things that we can do to really improve. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming back on the show. Good to have you back. And for everybody listening, all of the links in the show notes below, go and jump into Danny's world, get involved in lighting up your metabolism. And Danny, thanks for being here. We'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah, thanks, Maddie.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learned anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast, simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.